We will turn again in God's Word to Revelation 21. Revelation 21 and the verse 4. Revelation 21 and the verse 4. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come to His Word. Let us seek the Lord's face, please. Our gracious Father, we thank Thee for the privilege that we do have to meet together here this evening. And, O Lord, for the privilege to have Thy own holy Word before us. And, Lord, we do pray that our hearts will be gladdened as we think of the beautiful words that are before us. We thank Thee for this great day that we have been singing of, when our Lord shall come in all of His glory, and there shall be no more heartaches, no more pain. Oh Lord, we pray that we will be helped to live in light of that great day. We pray that we will even know days of heaven on earth. So grant us that needed help of the Spirit of God, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The great Scottish preacher Samuel Rutherford said, "Tears will follow us to heaven. Unto the very entry of the door, our face shall be wet." And his words picture us then with tears right until we reach God's heaven. And Samuel Rutherford went on to say, "Christ meets them in the door with a fair soft napkin in his hand, and puts up his hand to their faces and says, 'Hold your tongue, my dear bairns. Ye shall never weep again. Ye shall never weep again.'" As I read those words of Rutherford, I pictured in my mind a child playing outside. And the children playing outside often fall. They have some small injury, but despite the smallness of the injury, they are deeply distraught. And the child runs to the door of the house. The mother greets the child. And very soon, the tears are put away. And so we are the weeping children of the Lord. Our tears one day will all be soothed. Our tears will be gone when we reach heaven. And now, of course, right now our tears are being soothed, though we weep again. And so we are like that child that is outside playing. We trip and fall, and we are given some comfort, and we run and play again, but then we have another fall, and the tears come again. Again, we're comforted. But then it happens over again where there's some other small injury and the tears come. But then the child is brought home to rest and the tears are over for the day. And so while during our life's journey, there are many times of grief and tears, we will enter into our eternal rest and we will weep no more. The Lord often takes His handkerchief to our wet faces. But what a wonderful day when He will take the handkerchief for the final time. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We read in Psalm 56 in the verse 8, "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Put my tears into thy bottle.
The psalmist there is referring to an ancient practice where the individual in grief would cry their tears into a bottle. They would be able then to, in some measure, measure their tears. The psalmist in Psalm 56 verse 8 writes these words to comfort our hearts. Because in your time of grief, your tears are in his bottle. He knows them all. He knows your suffering. He counts your tears. He is not indifferent to them. Sometimes people view tears as a sign of weakness. But God does not despise you for your tears. Christ is touched with the feeling of your infirmity. And so right now the Lord counts your tears. But there are no tear bottles in heaven. All tears will be put away. And I've entitled the message then very simply, No Tears in Heaven. No Tears in Heaven. And I want to consider why there are no tears in heaven. So first of all, there are no tears in heaven because there will be an end to the present order. There will be an end to the present order. The words that are before us make it clear that tears belong to the present. And therefore, they have no part in the perfection of heaven. So if you look with me at chapter 21 and the verse 1, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And so we're reading of the first heaven and the first earth, the present creation. But in verse 4, it says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The former things are passed away. And the former things are speaking then of the first things. The former things are this first heaven and first earth. A creation in its present form that has been marred by the fall. Creation as it has experienced the curse. And so when we have the new heaven and the new earth, this present earth will be described as the former things. The former things are passed away. And the former things, the present earth, is an earth that is associated with tears. You remember how the Lord said to Eve, I will multiply thy sorrow. I will multiply thy sorrow. The Lord said to Adam, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it. That is, in sorrow thou shalt eat of the ground. And so the curse, as it affected man, as in the males as well as the females, is one that has brought tears and sorrow. And as a result, our lives are full of sorrow, full of tears. Job 5 verse 7, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And as sure as it is that the sparks fly upward, when one is born into this world, they are born into trouble. They are born unto tears, born unto worry, and born unto grief. Born unto misery, born unto great sorrow. Now, of course, the ungodly experience these tears as much as the people of God are. There are some of our tears that are unique to us, but the ungodly do suffer. The ungodly do have many tears. And they have many different ways of trying to deal with their tears. Many different ways of trying to divert from their sorrows. But they never know comfort like the people of God do. And their tears, of course, are pointing forward to even greater sorrows. The sorrows of hell. Remember that rich man as he lifted up his eyes in hell? He lifted up his eyes in torments. Great grief of soul. But for the child of God, heaven for us will be the place of no tears, no sorrow, no crying. And so the Lord does wipe our tears now, but he does not completely remove them. And since we live in this fallen world, in this world that is described as the first earth, we then must have tears. As long as we live in bodies of sin, in a cursed earth, we will experience tears. We have tears because of the reaping of sin. Many of our tears are a very direct consequence of sin. It may be our own sin, or it may be the sin of others. How often we have brought suffering upon ourselves because of our own sin, our own folly, our own pride, our own scheming. We bring heartache on ourselves. Many suffer heartache over a wayward loved one. How many mothers are in deep grief? They weep over their children. Grandmothers weeping over their grandchildren. Children have given themselves over to the world, over to the madness of sin, destroyed their lives, and their sin has brought tears for others. Or you think of one who is the victim of adultery, betrayed by their spouse. What grief. And the sin of another has brought tears to them. Or trouble in a marriage, whether it's due to lack of love, lack of submission, lack of care, it's all the result of sin. The reaping of sin brings tears. But then we see also the piercing of suffering brings tears. And Paul spoke of his ministry in Acts chapter 20, verse 19. He said that he was serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me. Many tears and temptations. Equally, the words could be translated many tears and trials. And Paul had many heartaches. He, of course, in other New Testament epistles describes some of those heartaches. He lists them for us. The shipwrecks, the various sufferings that he endured, they brought tears. It could be the suffering of sickness. Remember in 2 Kings 20, Hezekiah was sick unto death. The prophet Isaiah came to him and spoke to him of how he was to die. But then as Isaiah was leaving, he was commanded to turn and go back. I have heard thy prayer, 2 Kings 20, verse 5. I have heard thy prayer, was the message from the Lord. I have seen thy tears. I will heal thee. I have seen thy tears. The suffering could be barrenness. It could be that our lives are not having that fullness that we long for. We are like those that sow in tears. Psalm 126. The piercing of suffering brings tears. The rawness of separation brings tears. And we read in that verse 4 of no more death. And surely in our minds as we think of tears, we associate them with the great grief. When we are parted from our loved ones. separation of death. We think of those great tears shed at the death of Lazarus. The tears of Mary and Martha. The Lord, as he wept with them, how heart-wrenching death is. The rawness of separation. We could also speak of the discord in schism that brings tears. There are times when there's a fallout. It may be over some minor matter, but this discord, it brings many tears. Or it could be that the discord is over something that is of a serious matter. It could be over false teaching. Paul speaks in Acts 20 of how he warned those Ephesian elders for 3 years of false teaching. And he warned them with tears, because as he thought of false doctrine, as he thought of attack upon the person of Christ, all he could do was to weep. Because Paul's desire was that Christ would be exalted. And surely we can draw from that, that when Paul heard falsehood, he wept. The discord and schism brings tears. The stirring of soul brings tears. I'm referring here to the tears associated with conviction of sin. You remember Felix that Paul spoke to. And we don't read the word tears in relation to Felix, but we do read of great agony of soul. Acts 24, verse 25, it says, Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled. Felix trembled. And souls awakened to sin may shed many tears. Now those tears in themselves never provide a covering for sin. Felix is an example of that. Felix trembled, yet there's no reference of him coming to Christ for salvation. And yet there is to be great sorrow over sin. And if you're here tonight without the Lord as Savior, you ought to have tears. You ought to be in great agony of soul over your sin, over your state before God, that as you think of God's righteousness, you're unrighteous. As you think of judgment to come, you're so unprepared for it. There ought to be a trembling. There ought to be great sorrow. But God's word assures that those who sorrow over sin, and not merely the consequences of it, but those that sorrow over sin itself, shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And for those that know that great grief of soul, the Lord promises comfort. Thomas Brooks said, a sinner's face never shines so beautiful as when it is bedewed with penitential tears. That would be the best facial makeup, a face that is covered with tears of grief over sin. But then we see also here the intensity in substitution brings tears. At least it ought to. As we think of our Lord suffering in agony in our place, there are to be tears. Some time back we looked at those words in Zechariah 12, verse 10. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his own son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his own firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem. And I showed you then that those words refer to a gospel mourning. A mourning in seeing that it was my sin that brought the Lord to the garden. But as the Lord saw the wrath in that cup, it was the wrath due for my sin. As that crown of thorns was brought down upon our Lord's lovely brow, what were those thorns speaking of? The curse of my sin. As I see Christ bearing the cross, I see Him bearing my shame. As I hear the hammer drive the nails into those beautiful hands of Christ, it was my sin that nailed Him to the cross. If we understand that aright, we ought to weep. We ought to be that woman of Luke 7 anointing the Lord's feet with tears. It was my sin that brought all of that suffering. And then finally, as far as subpoints go, the lostness of souls ought to bring tears. As we think of those that are outside of Christ, our eyes ought to be full of tears as we think of souls on their way to everlasting destruction. If we have any glimpse of what hell is, surely we ought to have tears over the lost. Now, thinking of all of this, then, the life of the Christian in the present state is a valley of tears. The psalmist in Psalm 84 spoke of Baca, the valley of tears. And this is the valley through which we pass. We pass in our lives through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears. Yet the Lord says to us that He makes in that valley of tears a well. And so the water is not just the water from our eyes, but the Lord provides water for our comfort. He gives us joy in the midst of sorrow. And the Lord gives us joy. And yet we must recognize that tears are part of God's plan for us on the earth right now. And so we're never to get this idea that because we have tears, that somehow means we're outside the will of God. Not at all. There are times that we have tears, and it's because we have got outside the will of God. And we ought to have a new set of tears then, repenting and getting into the will of God. But not all of our tears are because we are out of the will of God. Our tears are part of God's sovereign plan for us. If you could turn with me, please, to Psalm 6. I don't think I've ever given much thought to these words that I want to draw your attention to. Psalm 6 and the verse 8. We'll actually read the verses before to show you that David is speaking of great agony of soul. Verse 3, My soul is also sore vexed. Verse 6, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. Interestingly, in the Hebrew, the word eye is also the word for fountain. My eye is consumed because of grief. My eyes are like a fountain running with water. But then look in verse 8. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. And it's those words that I wanted to draw your attention to. Tears have a voice before God. And surely this then is a voice that the Lord is desirous to hear. The Lord, He does not despise the voice of our tears. God does not reckon there a sign of weakness. God does not reckon there a sign of a lack of masculinity. God sees them as a voice. And so though one day our tears will be put away, we are not to despise them now. When we weep because of the suffering of sin, it reminds us how ugly sin is. When we weep in trial, it may be the trial of sickness, we are reminded of our frailty. The Lord gives us that thorn in the flesh to remind us of our frailty. When we weep as a result of death, we are reminded of our own short lives. When we weep because of heresy, we are reminded to hold to the truth. When we weep over our sin, we are reminded of the beauty of the gospel. When we weep over Christ's suffering, we are reminded of the success of the atoning work of Christ. Our tears have a voice. The Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. Or as I've mentioned in Isaiah 38, the Lord said to Hezekiah, I have seen thy tears. The Lord sees them. The Lord hears them. And surely then, the message of this text, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The message of this for us tonight is this. This present world can never be our home. We are only here temporarily. And during our temporary residence, we will weep. This world then ought never to be too attractive to us. We are continually to feel our absolute need of God's help. We are to continually take the Lord's comfort as He wipes our tears now. I should have said that the words of the verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, are surely implying the Lord is wiping our tears now, but not all of them. But one day they shall be all wiped away. It struck me as I meditated over this text that though tears are associated with the fall and the curse, and though our Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely sinless, yet during His ministry He wept. In fact, He wept like none other could weep. How could one who was sinless weep? When we think of our eternal state, no more tears. And yet Christ on earth, He wept. And He wept surely because He was in a world of sin. He saw the ugliness of sin like we do not see it. And thus He wept. And yet He knew joy without measure, anointed with the oil of gladness above His fellows. If you could turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and the verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5 and the verse 7. And it says there, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. He offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. In verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey them. You see, Christ, as he wept, And the weeping of that verse is certainly in association very especially with the Garden of Gethsemane. As the Lord wept, he took the curse. He took that cup of wrath that he might be the author of eternal salvation. That he might then take this handkerchief and wipe away all tears from our eyes. There will be no tears in heaven. Nothing to impair our joy. Sometimes I've been asked, will I weep over my loved ones who are not with me in heaven? We won't. That would mean there's tears. There are no tears. There will be nothing in heaven to remove our joy. No more pain. All the former things are passed away. So there are no tears in heaven because there will be an end to the present order. And then no tears in heaven because there will be no break in communion with Christ. No break in communion with Christ. If you could look with me at the words of the verse 3. It says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold the tabernacle of God, or behold the dwelling place of God is with men. And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Three times over here. With men, with them, with them. And heaven then is this. God with us. God as our God. Now of course we could equally say that this is true now. God is with us. He is Emmanuel. God is our God. And yet there is a fullness that we have not yet entered into. For while this is true that the dwelling of God is with men, there are distractions in this life. There are those things that affect our communion with Christ, but not so in heaven. If you could look back with me in Revelation 7, we have a parallel section to Revelation 21. Revelation 7, and at the end of verse 14, it speaks of those made white in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 15, these are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them on to living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And those in view here knew much about tears in life. They came through great tribulation. And yet, as they see the Lamb in the midst of the throne, as they feed on the Lamb, as they follow the Lamb, there are no more tears. There is nothing in heaven to take them in any sense from that communion with Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb. Yet also the shepherd, he leads them. He's the Lamb slain, yet the risen Lamb seated on the throne. And as he is before his people, there are no tears. I'm sure you have lamented how at times your communion with Christ has been broken. Maybe there's been some sweet time as you have been in the closet and some interruption has come. It has spoiled the communion. Or it may be you have had to leave the secret place and go to work duty is called. So many things to see to. Or it may be your own weariness. That yes, there was sweetness, and yet weariness came in upon you. Of course, as we leave the secret place, we go back to the place of suffering, the tears. But heaven will have no such problem. Our communion with Christ will be unbroken. As the hymn writer said, soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. The word wipe that is used in verse 4, Revelation 21 verse 4, is a beautiful word. Wipe away our tears. That word is used elsewhere in the New Testament to describe blotting out. Our sins are blotted out. And the idea is, as the Lord, of course this is figurative language, but as the Lord takes the handkerchief and wipes away all tears, they're blotted out, there's no more remembrance of them. All gone. As our sins are blotted out, so too are our tears. Remember the Lord said to the disciples in John 16, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And so the disciples would weep over the death and burial of Christ. The world would be rejoicing. But then the Lord said, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And right now, God's people weep and lament. And the world at times laments in the suffering of the saints of God. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy, pure joy. And the Lord spoke of a woman in travail, she hath sorrow. That is, a woman in childbirth has sorrow. But when the child is born, she remembereth no more the anguish, because her whole focus is on that child. And right now on earth, then, we are like that lady in labor. We know the pain, we know the sorrow, we know the tears. But when we reach glory, it'll be like the child is born. The suffering and the sorrow will be forgotten. And so the Lord said, ye now therefore have sorrow. And for some of you in the meeting, you can identify with that. I have much sorrow. But the Lord says, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. Fanny Crosby said, what rejoicing in his presence. When our banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened and the dark things shall be plain, face to face shall I behold him. Far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. How different for the unconverted. Your weeping in life is so small in comparison with what it will be in eternity. It's our longing that this very night that you will weep as you've never wept before, that you will weep your way to Christ, that you will hear those sweet words, your heart shall rejoice, knowing the Lord has dealt graciously with your soul. We trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts this evening. Amen.